All right, good morning. Good morning. Let's get it rolling. And it is a Tuesday before a very busy travel period. A lot of folks will be hitting the road this afternoon. Good morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of an H across our network of news talk stations. J-Dog, a couple good games last night. Short, the Bruins came up short. I watched that one. Good win for the Eagles. We'll come back to that. But today, we have a special program live from Auto Fair Honda in Manchester. You hear me talk about that a lot during the week as one of our great partners and sponsors. And, of course, Auto Fair, been the sponsors of our state police segment. And so, J-Dog, you and I recently realized that it's about our 15th anniversary of doing our regular weekly state police segment, which is the only dedicated segment in the country on any network of commercial broadcast stations just focused on public safety. And after, J-Dog, after the week we've had, going back to Friday afternoon at the Concord State Hospital, where former Franklin Police Chief Haas was killed in the line of duty, and a state trooper was there, and it really could have been a worse situation. Thoughts and prayers to Chief Haas's family. And then, of course, in Manchester, they had an incident. And then early yesterday, Monday morning, in Franklin, another situation with the New Hampshire State Police SWAT team. So a busy period for law enforcement. But it's a busy week, and it's a Thanksgiving week. A lot of people will be hitting the road today because of, I guess, as the highway signs say, Colonel Hall, the New Hampshire State Police, some winter-type weather moving in tonight into tomorrow, but a busy Thanksgiving Day week. But we're here in the front lobby of Auto Fair Honda with Colonel Hall of the New Hampshire State Police and Jason LaCroix, general manager, or at least the head of Auto Fair now in the marketplace, hosting us. And Colonel, let me start with you. It's been 15 years. Not that you've been doing this for 15 years, but really a testament, I think, to the state, our listeners, and a great sponsor with Auto Fair, but telling the stories of the men and women in public safety. And it's really something that I'm proud of that we've been doing it this long, and I think it's important to tell the stories of public safety to our listening public.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jack. And I first want to start out by thanking you for being an unbelievable ambassador for the state police over the last 15 years and then some. We couldn't do that without your support. And obviously, I want to thank Mr. LaCroix from Auto Fair and the folks here that have sponsored this program. It's really one of a kind throughout the country for us to be able to come on here every week and share the stories of our troopers and the work that they do. So thank you very much for your support.
And, you know, before we bring in Jason, because it's a wonderful showroom here, and if you come by this morning, we'd love to, the governor will be coming by in the 11 o'clock hour, Governor Chris Sununu, supporting public safety and law enforcement. But, Colonel, if we take a breath and go back a moment, Friday afternoon at the State Hospital in Concord, painful reminder of public safety and every day people that go out who work with you and local police and sheriff's deputies and first responders, EMTs, that you never know. And, of course, Chief Haas, known to your folks working with the state recently, retiring from Franklin. Just thoughts on his tough passing going into the Thanksgiving period, but thoughts and prayers, and we wanted to dedicate the show in part to him and his memory and legacy.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We our hearts are broken for the Haas family, and certainly, you know, it's an extremely tragic situation. He was a colleague of ours and dedicated his whole life to public service, you know, between the military and 26 plus years in retiring as a police chief, and then continued his service at the state hospital. And the tragedy has just hit everyone, both in the law enforcement community and the mental health community, the folks at New Hampshire Hospital. It's an extremely tragic situation for everybody, and we're just trying to band together and help support everybody and support the Haas family.
And again, it's a painful reminder because that was such a tense situation Friday afternoon in Concord in a somewhat pretty heavily populated area in and around the state hospital. But then law enforcement continued into the weekend, and then early morning Franklin situation, very very scary situation as well. So your folks never know really whether stopping a vehicle, accidents. We've lost too many troopers where they're doing, you know, construction safety checks and their lights are on and people aren't moving over. And people, I think, need to be reminded that your folks do this to serve the public.
They really do. I mean, it's, for a lot of people, it's a calling. And, this world's changing quite a bit, especially for law enforcement. And, I'm extremely proud of the men and women of the state police that go out there and serve selflessly every day and are there to respond and at a moment's notice, especially in those situations that we've seen over the last couple of days.
Colonel Mark Hall, New Hampshire State Police. Jason LaCroix, Mr. Auto Fair, thank you for hosting us in 15 years. A very important regular segment, and I can't tell you, Jason, how much we appreciate it. The Colonel said that, but when I bump into people in other departments who aren't even state troopers, they appreciate it because it's the only time they hear about public safety and the work of the men and women. So thank you, Jason.
Well, it's great to have you here, Jack, and Colonel's...
Oh, there you go.
Great to have you here, Jack, and Colonel, it's great to have you here as well. And really appreciate your service. I happened to be driving through Concord the other day around 4:30, and saw all of the state police rushing to that incident. And you know, it's great to feel the safety that we have with you. Next morning, first thing in the morning, I'm driving to work, and there's a car rolled over on the side of the road, and state police are there helping as well. So we appreciate everything that you do, and you know, we're trying to put really safe cars on the road, and same with the service departments.
There you go.
Trying to make sure that the cars are as safe as possible. So,
well, Jason, Auto Fair is quite a family as well, and you have locations across our region now. And but again, one thing about Auto Fair I've always noticed is part of the community. That's part of your business plan. It's not just service and great vehicles. And I'm biased. I love Hondas. I have a Nissan Frontier from your Stratum store. The service is great, but I love the vehicles. They're dependable. But your community does matter to you and your team.
You know, that's the fun part. Being here to help sell cars, service cars is great. But then being out in the community, helping those that are in need, helping the kids, being supportive, it's the fun part.
Yeah, and how many years have you now been on the team?
29 in February.
Can you believe that? So you actually might have been here when we started, though. You were actually. And, you know, Auto Fair, I think, Colonel, I've always said on doing a show, it's listeners, yes. It's listeners, but without sponsors and companies that care about the community, much like your team. I think that's another thing that people see. I'm looking at some of your troopers here in uniform. People see that, but they don't know that these are people in the community as well. They have kids that are going to the same practices, you know, the same cookouts or the same events. And, you know, that's one thing that I think we saw this recently with the tragedy in Lewiston, Maine. One of the things that the governor there said, it's a tight-knit community, and New Hampshire is like that as well when good and bad things happen.
Yeah, I think in New Hampshire we're unique. Anywhere you go in the state, it's community. And, you know, we're small, and the unique thing about our troopers is they're serving in the communities that they're also coaches and parents and, you know, active in their particular towns. So when something like this hits, many of us are part of the Concord area community. And so when something like that hit the other day, it's, you know, it affects everybody that's there.
And Jason, you were just speaking about it. You were coming in the other morning. You saw an accident, a car you said was rolled over, and they were the troopers, right?
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, things are good at Auto Fairs. You go into the Thanksgiving period here, and everyone's...
We have cars. I don't know if you noticed that. We actually have cars.
And trucks. I'm looking at actually that the Ridgeline right there, the blue, brand new in the showroom. Did you put that there for me to tempt me, or is it just ironic? Was it always there?
Well, we put it there for you to be tempted and also to load up with toys for kids.
Hey, you know, talk about that for a moment, because you're working with the state police, with the Marines, Toys for Tots again?
Sure, yes. That truck will be loaded up by the end of the day.
Again, another example of the community, right? You've been doing this for years. I remember you coming by when we were doing the, when Toys R Us used to be, you came by with a whole Auto Fair fleet of toys.
Yeah, that's also a fun part. Going out, we don't get to shop for toys too often. The kids are older.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing you do. So people can drop off stuff, or how
sure.
does that work?
Yeah, stop by with the toys.
Auto Fair Honda. Right across from the mall, New Hampshire. Jason, thanks. I know you have to run up. Are you going to come back?
I will be.
When the
yep.
governor's here. And thank you very much, Jason LaCroix, Auto Fair, the head of the market. How many locations now in New Hampshire?
We have six in New Hampshire.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you for supporting the community and the New Hampshire State Police in our regular segment, Jason.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
And, Colonel, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to meet some. Tell us who we're going to meet. Part of your recruitment team?
Part of our recruitment, our lieutenant. Erwin Malalay, he's overseeing the recruitment and training, and Trooper Nicole Stone, who's been there for a period of time now and does a great job down there for us.
All right, we're going to continue the discussion. We come back. Our own White House correspondent, John Decker, gives us a quick update, and then we're continuing our broadcast live from Auto Fair Honda in Manchester. Easy to find right across on the Mall of New Hampshire. Come on by, drop off a toy for the kids. I didn't realize that would be right in front. I would have mentioned that during the week, but come by. Many of you are later, and we're going to be joined by Governor Chris Sununu in the 11 o'clock hour. And we are celebrating our 15th anniversary of our weekly State Police segment, brought to you by Auto Fair. Back in a moment. Welcome back, and it's always good to be celebrating something good, something positive, because sometimes the news is less than that, and we are celebrating our 15th anniversary of our regular weekly State Police segment brought to you by Auto Fair. And we are broadcasting live at the home of Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, the only weekly segment dedicated to public safety on a network of commercial broadcast stations each week in the country, we are told. So we'll come back with that. But first, our own White House correspondent, John Decker, joining us. John, happy pre-Thanksgiving. And I guess one of the questions you're studying, and you know the law well as an attorney also covering the White House and in terms of the press corps, you know, should Donald Trump, the former president, be allowed? That's a question, of course, that's being weighed. It's kind of unprecedented to talk about the election interference case during the trial. And it is kind of rather unprecedented, this whole thing, isn't it, John?
Well, it's important to keep in mind what this limited gag order actually calls for and what Donald Trump is permitted to do and would not be permitted to do. As it relates to talking about the criminal case or cases against him, he's certainly free to do so. He can criticize, if he wishes, the Attorney General or the Department of Justice. And the problem here is that the limited gag order prevents him from in any way talking about or putting on social media anything about potential witnesses, staff for the federal judge presiding over this case, or talking about the special counsel Jack Smith or anyone on his staff. D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday heard oral arguments which represent an appeal of that limited gag order imposed by Judge Tanya Chutkan. And I think today is when we may actually get a ruling by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And yesterday, based upon the questioning that I heard, it seems to me they are likely to go along with much of what Judge Chutkan has already put in place as far as that limited gag order.
All right. John Decker, own White House correspondent. Thank you, John.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Have a great day. If I don't talk to you, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John. And, of course, we are looking at a nice weather day out there today, clear skies, but as we get into tonight, we are going to see a system come through. Mixed precipitation, depending where you are, could be a little messy on the overnight, and of course continuing into tomorrow, but then things clear out on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Heavy travel period, 55 million folks expected to hit the road. That's just the roadways, not the airways. Good news is gas prices are a little bit down. But we are broadcasting live, Auto Fair Honda in Manchester. Jack Heath, J-Dog back in our main studios, the Pulse of an H. Delighted to be here with members of the New Hampshire State Police, Colonel Mark Hall, kicking it off, our 15th anniversary of a regular segment. Trooper Nicole Stone has been on the show before, as has her lieutenant, and they head up the recruitment area of the New Hampshire State Police, trying to get folks into the ranks. And that's a big part of our weekly segment, talking about educating and informing the public on the work of the men and women in public safety, something that I think is critically important. I always have to say, I think it's interesting, people move to New Hampshire and our region from all over the country. And one of the big things I hear is because they feel it's a safe place to live, good quality of life, good place to raise a family. Lieutenant, introduce yourself again, and you're heading up recruitment for the New Hampshire State Police. Thanks for being with us as we look at 15 years of doing the segment.
Thanks, Jack. My name is Lieutenant Irwin Malley. I'm with the Recruitment and Training Unit for State Police. And I just want to thank you and all your partners for everything you do for us. The 15 years is amazing. I myself have been in the division for 15 years now, so wow. You probably started right when I joined.
I've had you on before, but tell us again what made you want to become a New Hampshire State Trooper.
So I've always had that belief and calling for public service. I joined the United States Army when I was 17 years old, right out of high school, and I've always had that sense of purpose, and I want my job to have a meaning. I never wanted to really sit behind a desk. That wasn't my dream in life, and although I sit behind a desk now, I've always joined with State Police, enjoying my time as a road trooper and everything that I do. And I think that the people that we hire, the people that we have in law enforcement in New Hampshire, are the right people for this job.
Where's home originally?
So I was born in the Philippines, but I grew up actually in the North Shore in Massachusetts, Salem and Peabody, Mass.
Oh, what? Yeah, I grew up in nearby Swampscott area and used to play the Salem Witches in the Northeastern Conference in sports and just a few years back. Well, anyway, thank you for what you do. And we're going to come back with Colonel Hall. We're going to talk about the recruitment effort because that's one of his main goals, I think, when we first had the Colonel on recently talking about this. Trooper Stone, you have a great story right from this area where we are in Manchester. And how many years now?
Yeah, good morning, Jack. Thank you for having me here today. I've been with State Police for 6.5 years.
What, again, the question I asked Lieutenant, what made you want to do this?
Yes, my story is a little bit different.
You came from teaching, right?
Yes.
I remember that, yes.
So it kind of goes along with Lieutenant Malley, kind of that sense and purpose to want to give back to the community. So I went to school to be a teacher. I went to UNH, born and raised in New Hampshire, and I loved the work of being a teacher, the public service, and I actually got a job at a college right after I graduated from UNH, and I loved what I did, but there was something more I wanted to do. I felt that sense, that need to give back more to the community. And it was actually John Marasco. I know he's going to be here later today. He was the lieutenant of the recruitment and training unit. And I talked with him while I was at this college, and he told me more about state police, what the troopers do. And I was like, that is what I want to do. And I felt that kind of change of I'm looking for a career change. I knew that that was going to kind of fulfill that need that I was looking for. So I applied to state police, and the rest was history. And when I applied to state police, I was like, recruitment and training is the job that I want when I go through. And this job has been good to me. I was able to switch to this unit, and I have no regrets. It's been great.
If you want to ask a question of the lieutenant or Trooper Stone or the colonel, 603-228-2080. It might be good, J-Dog, if people want to maybe ask a question, if they're thinking about this as a career and they're not sure. Lieutenant, I always, and Trooper Stone, I'll open it up a little bit. What I've been sensing for years now, not just months, years, the caliber and the quality of your new troopers is very high. I don't think I've met a New Hampshire State trooper in the last several years who hasn't been someone who I would hire. The quality, the professionalism, because today our law enforcement have to be a lot of different things to a lot of different people very quickly. They don't have the time. You know, in a matter of seconds, you're in situations where you want to make that proper, right decision in the interest of public safety. But maybe the numbers of people is the challenge, trying to get other people interested in this as a career. Is that what you face?
Absolutely. You got it right on the head there, Jack. We'll never falter our standards. I feel like the people that we do go through a rigorous process, and they're challenged from the get-go, from the application process through the PT test, the written exam. They're put through a whole process that's rigorous for them to actually become a New Hampshire State Trooper. So when they come on board with us, it's an achievement. They truly have been challenged prior to them even getting on board.
I've been struck in the past that some of the troopers that were brought in for our regular segment, I just can't remember the trooper's name. I think it was when it was then Captain or Major Marasco brought him in, and he had played sports from the Boston area. I think he'd gone to Boston College, and he got into financial service work, and he was working, you know, very good career in financial services. And I asked him in the studio, why would you switch to become a New Hampshire State Trooper? And I'm just going to summarize, but his basic answer was, I didn't feel like I was really serving people in my other role, and I just wanted to do something to help people. Is that a common denominator?
Absolutely. I think this job gives a sense of purpose and meaning for every day that you show up. You know that you make a difference when you come to work, and that brings in a lot of pride.
You know, and Trooper Stone, what do you say when you're out and about on the job or off and someone says, hey, what do you do for work? And you tell them, and they say, well, what's that like? Would I like that? Would you recommend someone else who doesn't have a background like the lieutenant in the military or in law enforcement to look at this? I mean, you came from education.
Yeah, absolutely. If you told me when I was in college that I was going to be a state trooper, I would tell you there's absolutely no way. I had no idea that this is what I wanted to do. And when I go to these college career fairs, I try to talk to every student. It doesn't matter to me what your background's in. State police, we have something here for everybody, and that's what really kind of intrigued me, was there are so many opportunities within this agency. If you're good at math, we have something for you. Good at writing, whatever your background is, there's something at this agency that's going to fit you. So it doesn't matter to us. We're just looking for good people, and I think Colonel Hall does a really good job. We're not going to lower our standards, and we're just looking for good people to wear this uniform.
Well, you kind of walked me where I wanted to go. I was going to ask you, what do you really, really like about it? And I think you kind of answered it. It's just the diversity, something different. That's another thing I hear. I personally couldn't do one thing all day long. I like every day being different. I used to say that in the television news business. I say it doing a show. You just never know where it's going to take you. I like that sense of not being bored, quite frankly, being challenged, being stimulated. Is that part of what you think, Lieutenant, the job offers?
Absolutely. There's a lot of uncertainties with our jobs.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the best thing about it is every day is something different. You know, you if you're a road trooper, you know, every car stop is different, as we could obviously see from...
No two the same,
absolutely. And at any point, anything that you do with the state police could change in a heartbeat. Could be from a routine traffic stop to a situation like we had on Friday. It can literally flip on a switch.
And as far as the process, I've asked the colonel this before. Maybe you can just update us, Lieutenant. If someone's interested, what's the first steps they should do? What how... They're just listening. They're like, okay, I'm working. Let's just say hypothetically, person put in an HVAC unit today. They might have had military experience or not. And they just don't know. What's the first thing they should do? Should they go to a website? Can they call and talk to you? Can they have a cup of coffee? Can they come up and, you know, spend time with someone at headquarters? And what's the length? What's the process? What's the physical test part? What's the... you know, the background, the interview. Someone might not know all that. I don't.
Yeah, so our process is actually outlined really well in our new updated website. If you Google New Hampshire State Police, you can find our website at joinstatepolice.nh.gov. There's a lot of information there. Walks you through the whole process, gives you all of our minimum requirements, what to expect, and then also when our next upcoming test date is going to be, which is actually January 6th upcoming, is our next test date.
How long does it take if everything goes about right, you know, give or take? They have to go through a period at the academy, I believe, and then there's a period of probation or training. Is there still I think the colonel had said the last time, is there still a bonus opportunity if someone wants to join the state police?
So there currently is. They're still doing a $10,000 sign-in bonus right now, and
wow,
that is still active. And we're encouraging as many people to try out and come test to become a New Hampshire State Trooper. Our next test date is January 6th. Should you test,
so it's coming.
Us,
that's not far away.
That's not far away at all. And in our website, you'll see all of what is required of you for minimum requirements, what to expect as far as our upcoming test with the PT standards, our written exam. And then after that, you'll be invited to an oral board. And then we have to, as part of our requirements, we put you through another series of psychological, medical evaluations, as well as a polygraph prior to you meeting with our colonel for a final oral interview. We'll also do a deep, thorough background of you as an applicant to make sure that you are the right quality person before we hire you as a trooper.
And Trooper Stone, anything else you want to add to that for people that don't know what's involved? You know, typically in the private sector, you'd go maybe a website, have an interview, maybe a couple of interviews, background, and then you might or might not be offered something. And it's pretty much within a few weeks, you're working. There's a period, obviously. There's a lot of training that goes involved in becoming a state trooper, both on knowing the law to an extent, but you have to be a lot of things to a lot of people. You have to know a little bit about first aid, basic stuff, I imagine. You have to, you know, you have to know a lot about, you know, common sense and professionalism and just the etiquette and maybe learning from another trooper. I mean, are these all things that go into it?
Absolutely. And I do want to talk about just our application process a little bit, because it does differ from like the private sector. You might apply for a job, you never hear back from somebody. You just apply and you're like, maybe they'll call me one day. For us, if you apply and you meet our minimum requirements, you're going to get a follow-up. You are going to be invited to our PT test, which is pretty cool, because after that, it's all on you. So everyone's getting that fair opportunity. We're not just looking at a resume and saying, yep, they check the box or they don't.
And the basic requirements one more time?
Yep, 60 college credits, or you can have 2 years of full-time military service or 2 years of full-time law enforcement service.
Okay, and so again, the academic is what? How much?
60 college credits, so the
what
end
is that?
Of like
is
your
that
sophomore year and associate's degree.
So kind of like a two-year...
Yeah, 2 years of college.
So if someone went to community college and NHTI or whatever, they got through a program, education, for example, yep, that would be the education requirement.
Correct. So it doesn't matter what the degree is in, just those 60 college credits. You don't even have to have a conferred degree. Just the 60 college credits is all you need.
Live at Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, celebrating, really just celebrating our 15th anniversary of doing a weekly segment on public safety and law enforcement in the New Hampshire State Police. Colonel Mark Hall here. Thank you for your time. I know it's been a very busy several days. Your folks who do so much on the recruiting side, kind of the face of the New Hampshire State Police. But Colonel, thanks again for the years of allowing us to tell the stories, really share the stories of law enforcement.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's been an outstanding 15 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but this is great for the state police and really the entire state for us to be able to tell the stories and share, some of the inside of what our troopers are doing each and every day that people might not be able to see. And we appreciate you and everything that you've done for us to allow us to come in here and do this.
Well, it's an honor. And I was talking to Amber on your team, who was putting this day together, because the Governor Chris Sununu will be coming by at the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to get a call in from U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen. This just started on the simple idea of tell the stories. It's just whoever your commanders were then, I had known some of them. I said, why don't you come on and talk about the work? And all the years later, I think of, the different jobs Trooper Stone talked about, whether it's in the air, in the lab, civilian stuff, emergency dispatch, narcotics investigations, homicide, and then the troopers out there who knows what they have to encounter. Accidents, bad accidents, and too often it's distraction or just not paying attention, people driving too fast, and all of a sudden a family's affected forever if they lose someone. It's sad to say, but you've lost too many troopers in the line of duty, or just doing simple construction safety stops with the lights going, but someone failed to move over. So we are painfully reminded sometimes of the challenges of the job, but I also think overall the people I've met really enjoy their work for you.
They really do. I mean, I think every one of us knows that, what we're in for out there, that things could change at a moment's notice, and there is a high level of risk. But again, as we talked before, it's a calling, and it's really something that's about serving, something bigger than yourself. And I think that's really what's driving a lot of our troopers to do the work that they do every day, and to go out there and serve others and keep our communities safe and provide that safety and security for our state. So, we're glad to do it.
We've talked about some of the trends that I think affect public safety. I think one of them is distractions, people paying attention, especially when you're on the road and you have precious cargo, as they say. It could be kids in the car. It could be the car ahead of you has a family. And, you look down for a second and, you're not paying attention, and, things can happen. The other thing I'm wondering, New Hampshire and New England has dealt with the foe of fentanyl. We've seen that too often on first responders and EMTs and firefighters and police when they respond to someone basically fentanyl's bad stuff, and we know that. But mental health is an area I'm getting critically more concerned about, and we look at situations that are not your area of expertise, but your folks run into this, and it's so pervasive. I did a Veterans Hall last Thursday, and we talked a lot about supporting our veterans on the physical side, the mental health side, but anxiety, depression. And sometimes your troopers are in situations where someone is very distraught and there is a degree of mental illness, and they can put the public safety of that trooper, people in their home or apartment or condominium with them in harm's way. And, I think it's something we as a country and a society have to address. But as Colonel of the State Police, is that a concern you have on just more public safety and health care officials being aware that mental health is a bigger challenge? And I think sometimes we want to admit.
Yeah, it's really is a very big challenge for us. I would say the vast majority of the calls that our troopers are responding to, whether it's a domestic incident or something as extreme as what we dealt with on Friday afternoon, there is some sort of mental health component to it. So it is a big concern of ours. Our troopers are receiving extensive training in mental health and how to deal with those situations. We're trying to get a clinician that would actually be embedded with our negotiators and our SWAT team at this time. And we're just trying to, open up the lines of communication with the mental health community to be able to, bring them in and help assist us with these things that they're delicate situations. A lot of times, people are suffering, and it's not always a law enforcement response. So, it is a big issue that, this state is not immune to, that we're dealing with.
And the nation.
That's right.
I think we have Sean with Toys for Tots wanting to say hi to the state police. Sean, are you there?
Good morning.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm just calling in to promote the Stuff a Cruiser event that we have starting now and happening throughout the state.
Well, looking at a nice new Honda Ridgeline with toys in the back, tell us a little more, Sean, how the public can help you.
Well, the state police will be holding Stuff a Cruiser events all throughout this season. We have an event happening right now at the DMV in Concord from 9 to 1 today, and we're going to be doing two events on Saturday, one at Walmart in North Conway and the other in Keene, and we're looking forward to folks stopping by to donate toys and help support this cause.
And, Sean, do you mind my asking where in those two locations, where exactly in those communities you said this weekend?
So this weekend, Saturday, from 12 to 4 at Walmart in North Conway, and we'll also be at Target in Keene from 10 o'clock to 2 p.m.
Awesome. And are you, you're with the state police?
Yes, sir.
And what's your capacity? What's your role? Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your job.
So I'm a staff sergeant with the state police, and I'm the assistant troop commander of Troop C in Keene. And I've been involved in the Stuff a Cruiser events. This will be our sixth year that we've been doing it, and it's just a great cause that I look forward to every year.
Question I asked your colleagues here, and of course the colonel's here. It's the boss, but it's okay. You don't have to get. You can act the same. No, I'm kidding. Just why you wanted to join the ranks of the state police and public safety. What was your background? What was your story?
Well, I started as a local police officer. It's just something that I've wanted to do since I was a kid. And when I learned about the New Hampshire State Police and the opportunities that they offer, it just drew me into the organization. And I haven't looked back. It's been a great experience. And been here for almost 17 years now. That's where I'm going to retire.
And you enjoy it. You like it.
I do. I look forward to coming to work every day. Something a little bit different. Most days are really good days, and you know others are challenging. But it's a really great organization. We support one another and work through the issues and work to support our communities. And just something that I sincerely enjoy.
Well, Sean, we appreciate what you're doing out there in the Troop C area as well, but especially for the Toys for Tots, which is a great program for those that are in need. And we have a great partnership with the Marine Corps, so I appreciate your efforts on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, broadcasting live from Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, across from the Mall in New Hampshire. Come by and say hi if you want, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. More of the original folks who got this going a lot of years ago on the way, so we'll have fun with that. A little bit later on, Governor Chris Sununu will be swinging by. And it is a Tuesday, of course, very busy travel day, and I think, Colonel, while we still have you on before we take a break, just a minute, I would suspect with the weather coming in tonight, some mixed precipitation tonight into tomorrow, you're going to see a lot of people on the roadway this afternoon, 93-95 corridor.
Yeah, I would assume it sounds like tomorrow, throughout the night, and tomorrow is going to be a messy commute. So, yeah, we would ask people to try and get an early start if you can and leave before the weather hits.
And do me a favor, but for all of the public, the police, the responders, when we had our first inch of snow, I think we heard from your folks, there were over 80 accidents. People forget how to drive in the snow. Here's a real simple, novel concept. Slow down. Just slow down. Because you're not going to probably stop as fast if you see brake lights ahead and you're going too fast. Just a thought. All right, take a quick break from Auto Fair Honda, our 15th anniversary. New Hampshire State Police back in a moment. You know, again, it's hard to believe we've been doing this for 15 years. But I guess, J-Dog, some traditions, Monday Night Football's lasted. Our New Hampshire State Police segment brought to you by Auto Fair. We're at Auto Fair Honda in Manchester. And Colonel Mark Hall, I know you got to run, but I want to thank you for being here in person with your recruitment team, Lieutenant, and the trooper. I appreciate both of you coming in and what you do. We're going to have much more coming up. But how many folks now full time in the department or division that you oversee, roughly?
Well, our 362 sworn is our full complement, and right now we're down probably about 70 positions. So
70. Wow. Now, since you've been on, these numbers for the last several years have stayed. It seems to me that there's been a I don't know what percentage, but there's been about that, maybe a little more now. Is that the number opening seems high to me, but it has for a while.
It has been for the last few years. We've fluctuated. We've had a lot of retirements and people leaving for other careers over the last few years. But our hiring and the folks in recruitment and training are still going strong. And And our hiring has been pretty consistent over those years. So,
and as you hold the standards that your team, your recruitment, the lieutenant talked about earlier, keeping the standards high. But we have a lot of, you know, lawmakers and policy leaders that listen to the show, and I think they care about public safety. I think they do, regardless of Democrat, Republican, or budgets. Is one of the challenges compensation? Because private employers now, we have an unemployment rate in New Hampshire, one of the lowest in the country per capita. I think it's 1.7. It's under 2%. So even private employers are doing things like bonuses, incentives, extra benefits to get someone to work there. Do we have to be doing more to help your recruitment folks on the compensation side? Or you think it's more just a challenge of finding the right person for the right fit? Because overall, nationally, I talk to friends in the Army, recruitment in the military, National Guard, the branches of service, firefighters. We had a firefighter on from Manchester saying they're having a challenge. EMTs, I know American Medical Response has been having an issue trying to get people. Is it people are reluctant to go into these types of jobs that serve the public, or is it a compensation issue or a combination?
I think it's a combination of many things. I think there's a lot of jobs out there that are available that do have more compensation than some of the service jobs. So that does make it challenging to compete with that. I also think that just service jobs in general have seen a decline, whether it's the military, the fire, the police, as you said. So we don't have the numbers that we did, 10, 15, 20 years ago,
right?
That we have now. So it's harder to fill those spots. But, the public should be rest assured that, no matter what our vacancies are, the troopers will still answer the call. They're ready. We're covering around the state, and they're ready to respond at a moment's notice.
That's good to hear, because in some parts of the country, I worry that especially with police, if they're short and they have five things going at once, someone calls that 911 call, and people might say, wow, it took a while. Well, I just think we all need to wake up. You don't have to say anything, Colonel. But in the military, less than 1% serve. 330 million people. There are two wars going on in the world, and I just look at who's going to be there, and I just think that's one reason why I think we do this segment, is to raise awareness. And when you meet folks like you've had today, it's Trooper Stone, any final comments? You got the boss here, and Lieutenant.
Well, I'll put a pitch out there for recruitment. If there is anyone that's out there that is interested, and maybe you're not, maybe you just want to learn more, we do have this new website that the Lieutenant talked about. It's joinstatepolice.nh.gov. There's actually an option on there to speak with a recruiter. You can click that link. It will send you right our way, and we can have a conversation about state police, the job in general, and see if it's a good fit for you. We'd be happy to talk with you.
And, Lieutenant, we'll just pass that over to you real quick, the microphone. Any final thoughts? And thank you, by the way, for your service both to the country and the state now. Any final thoughts on making this a career or looking into it?
The only thing I want to add is, again, thank you to you, Jack, and everybody else. But the number one thing that brought me back to this service is not only the sense of purpose and pride, but this is really a tight-knit community, like you had mentioned earlier in your show, and that rings true. I am proud to be a part of the state police, but also because it's a family. You really join a family membership here, and it's fantastic. It's a great thing. It's a great team to be a part of.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Lieutenant. And Colonel, thanks again. Good Thanksgiving to you and your family and your other family here that you've had. And we appreciate you supporting this. 15 years in the making and still going. So thank you, Colonel Hall. We appreciate it.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, Jack. And again, thank you so much for all the years of your efforts to promote public service as well. So thank you again.
Well, it's an honor. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And, of course, we're live here at the Auto Fair. Manchester, right across the mall, New Hampshire.